think I got this recorder started. I tell you what, I sure do appreciate y'all willing to sit out here like this. I don't know how Brother Jeff does it. I was looking into some of the windshields of these cars, and you can't see faces back, and it's just like I'd just about as soon as have a wall in front of me, I guess. You know, the scripture should be personal to us, and when you get that opportunity to teach, it's good to see that, good to see the people maybe reacting a little bit, and I guess I've been worried about that, thinking, well, are you just wanting to be men pleaser, or are you wanting to, you know, really teach for the right reasons? And I don't know. So y'all bear with me today, and we'll try to get through this. But I sure do appreciate you, brother and sisters, being here, and anybody out there in their cars. And I've enjoyed this study, and thank y'all. Love Hilltop Church. If you got your outline, we got in pretty much down, I think, to the bottom portion of the first page, or my page. I think mine may be printed a little different, y'all. Sorry about that. But we talked about Nebuchadnezzar coming in and how there would be three different portions of the exile, I guess you'd say. The very first one being listed in 24th chapter of 2 Kings, when it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. That would have been the first one. Then the second one would have been when Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out in the 12th verse of the 24th chapter. You can read there in the 12th and the 13th verse, and it talked about Jehoiachin being taken out at that time. So that would have been the second exile. Meaning that three different times Nebuchadnezzar came in because there were kings of Judah that was not submitting to Babylon the way that they were supposed to. And then different portions of people were taken out. But the very first one was, like I said, there during the reign of Jehoiakim, and the second being of the reign of Jehoiachin. And then we get down to the starting of the 25th chapter, and this would be the beginning of the third one, and this is when Jerusalem would be completely destroyed, and we're going to read this through the 25th chapter. May end up reading most of it, so y'all just bear with me. I know it's lengthy reading, but and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. He and all his host against Jerusalem pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. Notice this time that they were having to truly go in and battle their way into Babylon. That way, the year of King Zedekiah, and on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. So Babylon had came in, circled Jerusalem here, and they were basically starving them out. They'd cut off their supplies going in, held back food and everything else, so they're starting to starve them out. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about. The Chaldees were... Nebuchadnezzar was a Chaldean. He was actually king over that, but Babylon being the whole area that he was king over, but the Chaldees pretty much synonymous with the Babylonians. And the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. So this being the second king that they had taken out of position and carried to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. So we'll stop there and back up into the 8th there a little bit. It talked about in the 15th month of the 7th day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar. We talked about last week that some believe the first entrance of Nebuchadnezzar would have been in the year 605 B.C. The 19th year thereafter would have made this 586 B.C. The first one being 605 in the exile, the second one being 597, and the third one being 586. And all of that we may try to wrap up here down the road, but trying to understand the 70 years that we talked about last week when Jeremiah had talked about that they would be under the Babylonian reign, or they'd be under the Babylonians for 70 years. But in the 10th, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Now the husbandmen tried to look that up and tried to understand it, and it turns out that word is used the first time in Genesis 9 and 20. If you want to turn over there and look at Genesis 9 and 20, and it's talking about Noah. I believe it was, if we can find it. In chapter 9, verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. So you could say that a husbandman would be more like a farmer or a grower. But notice that they both had to do with vine dressers and things like that. That's what they would have been trying to farm or try to raise back at that time. But the 13th, and the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. Now back in 1 Kings chapter 7, I think 15, 23, and 27, both talks about this brass that was first made by this man that they had brought out of Tyre to help pour and molt this brass. And it was brass to begin with. I looked at that the other day, and me and Barry had talked about that, and I was convinced it was originally made of gold, but it wasn't. There was a lot of things that was overlaid with gold, maybe the floors, maybe the doors and the walls and things like that, but these were brass from the beginning. Back when Solomon had built this temple, and they have came in now and they've destroyed this, and the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the basins and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. So they were hoarding all of this, and the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold and gold and of silver and silver the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels were without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and that's exactly what it was when it was originally made. And the chapiter upon it was brass, and the height of the chapiter 3 cubits, and the wreathen work, and the pomegranates upon the chapiter round about, all of the brass, and like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. And all of that you can read back in 1 Kings. And the captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 keepers of the door, and out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. So he came in, and he was asked basically to go in and take everything of value, strip it down, and bring it into Babylon. the king of Babylon, in the 20th, and Nebuzar, Canaan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried out of their land, except for the very four poor people and the vine dressers and the husbandmen. So basically, they took everybody of prominent. They took anybody that had anything, and they wanted to get them out of there, and they just left a handful of poor people there. It's about all it amounted to. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Zariah, the son of Tanhumath, and Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, the son of Makathite, they and their men. So, in the 24th, we'll get to the point of reading those people. And Gedaliah sware to them and to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. On face value, if you just read that, you would think everything about that is wrong, and you would think that Gedaliah was in the wrong for saying that. But we've talked about it a number of times last week and this week. That was what they were supposed to do, was submit to Babylon. And I really do think that life really wasn't unbearable in Babylon. Again, we've talked about that. They weren't people that wanted to kill them. They weren't people that wanted. They just didn't want them to be a power. They wanted to take their power away. They didn't necessarily want to kill them. So he was saying, "Hey, if you'll just serve the Babylonians." He's thinking in his mind, we got 70 years, we can get through this. We've done heard the prophet, what Jeremiah said about it. We just got to submit to our own punishment. And after that, God's going to see us through. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, came and 10 men with him and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. So when they escaped, after they killed Gedaliah, they all took off running, ran through the walls, and headed south to Egypt, to where they thought they wouldn't be able to be caught by the Babylonians, and that's pretty much what happened. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin was the king during the second exile there. That was a young man. He was 18 years old. He was served for about 3 months, and then he was taken into captivity. But now we read here, in his 37th year of captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign. Evil Merodach was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why necessarily he had the name Evil Merodach. There's very little. I don't know that you read his name more than a couple of times in the Bible. But it talks about him beginning to reign here. So there's, when we read those last couple of verses here in this chapter, or in the 26th, 27th, there's a big span of time there that we talked about last week that can be discovered in the book of Daniel. So if you want to go read into that, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, but just always keep it in mind, when you read from one verse to the next verse, there's a good 20-year span jump right here that we don't see, maybe more than that. And sometimes I don't understand that. I'll think, well, this happened, and it'll read somebody else's name, and I get to thinking that those people were in succession. Well, in this case, they were. Later on, when we get to reading in some of these, especially in Daniel, it's going to bounce around a little bit, and it ain't necessarily in chronological order when you read these kings. And that's where our study kind of led us to. Maybe we'll get to in just a bit. But finishing up the 37th, it says, lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Now, I think what it means there, Babylon had overtaken many, many kings, Judah being one of them. And I think what he's talking about here is that Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, done this. I believe Merodach done this. I believe that they, the ones that they didn't kill, the ones that were somewhat submissive, I believe that he brought them into his court even sometimes, and they sat at meat with them over in Babylon, and they treated them like somebody. So just like we're reading here with Jehoiachin, they brought him in. Merodach decides to feed him until the day that he dies, lets him eat there at his table, gives him garments. So again, this is not, when they're being exiled, this ain't real harsh treatment for all of them. I'm sure it was for some. But for the most part, again, they just wanted to get him out. And it said in 28, he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life, and his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day all the days of his life. So finishing off there, and that was 2 Kings. We may go read just the ending of 2 Chronicles, just to kind of show that those two do support one another. It touches on pretty much the same thing, but in the ending of, let's say, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you can read in chapter 9. I really didn't want to touch on this, but being that I brought it up here in chapter 9, it says here Jehoiachin was 8 years old. When in 2 Kings, it said he was 18 years old. So like we talked about last week, that's more of a miscopy than an error in the Bible. It's just a miscopy somewhere along the way. And I guess I'm more convinced that 2 Kings is probably accurate in this way, that it is, in fact, that he was 18 years old. Over in Ezekiel, and I ain't going to say that I completely understand all of that, but it talks about some of them being brought in and some being taken captive, and they referred to one of them as being young whelps and like lions and things like that. So most certainly an 8-year-old wouldn't have been considered like that, but an 18-year-old being a young whelp and like a lion, that would have kind of favored more towards the 18-year-old at that time. But it's kind of getting off things there a little bit. But in the 10th, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah, which is the same thing we'd read there in 2 Kings. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. So all of that matches up what we had read. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and God humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. And that was the reason for wanting to read somewhat the same things out of 2 Kings to 2 Chronicles. They're just it's kind of like reading the Gospels. You'll read, there's just a little bit different angle. Like Brother Jeff has told us many times of how it may just be from a different point of view, a different angle, a different standpoint, but some of these things mentioned in here, it made a point to say, mentioned Jeremiah the prophet and what was told that they should do, and then mentioned that he stiffened his neck and wasn't submissive to what the Lord wanted to do, and that he was evil. In the 14th, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people till there were no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and his princes, and all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burn all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. Now, way back when, we were studying a little bit on the Ark of the Covenant, and that Ark of the Covenant would have been in this temple. And when they destroyed and took all of this, it doesn't say anything that it was gone, but it wasn't seen from. So either somebody within took it and was gone with it, and some believe that it ended up where in Ethiopia or something like that for a while, and some believe it's maybe over in Rome for some reason. And so this is where all the speculation can start anyway. I'll let you do your own speculating there, but all as I know, it wasn't mentioned here the things that was taken, but it also said anything of value was taken pretty much. So, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now the next three verses, it's going to talk about the first, well, in the 22nd, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So just like what we said at the end of the 2 Kings, there's a big jump here because we're still talking about Nebuchadnezzar and what he done in the 20th. And then now you go to 22nd into the king of Persia. That's a huge jump. That's better than 40 years or so. Not discussed right there. So to find that 40 years and to understand this 70 years, we're going to have to go to a few more books. And not that we fully understand it now, but maybe we can get our head wrapped around it a little bit better. But probably going to go into the book of Daniel here in just a little bit, but I'm going to go to the outline in what would be my second page. It's titled Jerusalem Destroyed. When it talks about the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, and the king's house, the houses of Jerusalem, they break down the walls around Jerusalem. And we'll get into that towards the end of the study as far as when those walls were built back up by Nehemiah and all of that type stuff. So there is some good to come out of this later on. But right now, you just got to understand Jerusalem has utterly been destroyed from inside to out. And talks about the vessels and the spoons and all of that being carried out. The office of officers of war and the men of war that were carried out. Nebuchadnezzar appointed a governor. We talked about him appointing the kings before, but at this point he'd appointed a governor that then was later killed, and his name was Gedaliah, and he said unto them to serve the Chaldees. We talked about that there a minute ago, and then they'd fled into Egypt. So all of that's going to come back around in a bit. But the next title section is Kings to Come, and that's going to lead us into the book of Daniel. But the book of Kings ends with Jehoiachin, after being in prison, he's released from captivity after 37 years. Evil Merodach had done that and changed his garments and did allow him to eat bread continually. And then I got a note there that we'd go to Jeremiah 52. 31 through 34. So if y'all will, let's go read that. Jeremiah 52. Chapter or verse 31 through 34. One post shall run 52. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 5th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And that's how the book of Jeremiah ends. And I think that's about the second and last place that you'll read about evil Merodach. The next few Babylonian kings, info that I've got listed here on the outline, comes more from world history. You won't see these names. There's a possibility of one there in Jeremiah 39, 3 and 13. What would have been Merodach's son, Labashai Marduk. And then the next one would have been Nabonidus, then Belshazzar. We're going to read about Belshazzar in Daniel 5 and 1. But the reason why I put that in there is to recognize the time difference. And you'll read here in just a little bit, it's going to refer to Belshazzar as the son of. But that doesn't always necessarily mean that that's his exact son. It could be his grandson, his great-grandson, his great-great-great-grandson. And in the Bible, they still might refer to that individual as being the son of. So, but that was the reason why I wanted to kind of read that there was some time delays in there. Again, when you read from one verse to the next, it may refer to, you're thinking chronologically that it's going to be the very next one, but sometimes there's people left out. But the book of Daniel is the next paragraph there under the kings to come. The book of Daniel covers the time span from Nebuchadnezzar to the first year of Cyrus. The first four chapters cover the first group exiled from Judah through the last group. In chapter 4, possibly written by Nebuchadnezzar, and I've got that pieced in there. We'll read it, and y'all tell me what you think. But the first group was taken out in 605 B.C., the next in 597 B.C., and the last was in the latter part of the year 586. Now, just to let you know, the Bible does not specifically say this was 586, this was 597, this was 605. This was the best starting point you could come up with is 605, and then the years that we were getting, that we read through 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, these would have been the years subtracted from 605. So is there a chance it was 608? Is there a chance that it was 602 when it started? Some say yes. So just laying all those cards out there, but 605 is where I chose to go with. So we may go to the first book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1. I don't believe we've made any more Daniels. we may be at a decent place to stop here and just to... We may read a little bit. I don't want to run too late. I know we got to get some stuff together for church maybe and see how we want to do it with the clouds coming in. But let's go ahead and read here in the first few verses anyway. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So this is imperative to understand this time frame. Jehoiakim, remember, was the second king. He was the king that was there... he was the first king that was there during whenever they first came in. So this would have been that 605 time frame. It was Jehoiakim, and then it was Jehoiachin. So going back into our study there in 2 Kings, so Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So from the very first time they came in to Judah, they started taking people out. They started taking vessels out. And as we're going to read down through here, you got these men. Daniel would have been taken out. These other men by the name of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And we'll understand that they'll get different names here in just a little while. But their original names when they were in Israel, that were the names that they were more commonly known for, but yet we know them for much more prominent names than that. Being Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But that just helps support, and that's the reason why when you read in these books, at the very beginning, it'll either tell you a time frame or it'll sometimes tell you what their purpose was. But this, with what we read there, we know without a doubt this was the very first time Nebuchadnezzar came in. And what year reign it was with Jehoiakim, and that matches up with 2 Kings, and all of that lines up. But as we read through these next three or four chapters of Daniel, you got to understand that Daniel was taken out. They were taken over into Babylon, which Ezra will later say that it took 4 months to get there, or to get from Babylon back to Judah anyway. So we got to figure it'll take somewhere about the same time to get them there. But these men were taken a long way from home. They were taken into an area that they didn't know, people that they didn't know, language that they couldn't speak. But then they were treated pretty well. Treated them real well, actually. Even listened whenever they disputed eating some of the things that they wanted to eat. They went ahead and lied, well, go ahead and we'll let you try it. So it wasn't hard times. And the reason why I'm putting emphasis on that is because if it was real hard times, people would have been, they couldn't wait to have got back to build the new house of the Lord. But a lot of them would be reluctant later on. We'll see that in our study here after a while. But maybe a good place to stop for the day. And we'll try to get back into this a little bit and understand this 70 years and what kings come about and things like that through the book of Daniel. But if y'all, anybody got anything? I'm sorry, I did a whole lot of reading and didn't allow any conversation. Any thoughts on anybody's mind this morning? If not, we may just consider ourselves to be dismissed, and y'all be in prayer for Brother Jeff here in just a little bit. Lord willing, be in his will to stand. But consider yourself dismissed.